You're listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering. Welcome to Health Savvy You, and thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I have a story to tell you. It's about a kid named Ari who believed that there are giant spiders in their city. But how did they fall for something so absurd? What tricks did their subconscious mind play to make them trust the lies they read online? Ari is about 11 years old. Loves peanut butter, weird animal facts, and playing detective on the internet. And one rainy Saturday afternoon, Ari stumbled across something wild online. A headline blazed in red letters. Giant spiders found in subway pipes could eat small dogs. Ari gasped, "What?" They clicked fast, like lightning fast. Even faster than they clicked on 10 ways to turn your hamster into a ninja. Now, here's the thing. The spider story, total nonsense, made up, not even a single nibble of truth. But Ari didn't know that yet. This story isn't just about Ari. It's about why Ari clicked. Why so many of us, smart, thoughtful, educated folks, fall for strange, shaky, even dangerous stuff online. Spoiler alert, it's not because we are dumb. It's because our brains were built for jungle and not TikTok. Let's start with what happened to Ari's brain in that moment. Imagine your attention is a flashlight. You think you control where it points, right? Wrong. Most of the time, our attention is hijacked. Our brains are wired to notice what's shiny, loud, scary, fast, or emotional. That headline about subway spiders, it hit all buttons. Novelty, check. Scary, check. Kind of gross but fascinating, double check. This is called attentional capture, when something grabs your attention without your permission. It is like a raccoon breaking into your brain through the back window. You didn't invite it there, but it is there, chewing through your thought process. And once that flashlight is shining on something, your brain starts filtering everything else out. That's called tunnel vision. You're focused on the big spider drama now. Even if just a scroll away, there's another post from an expert saying, "Hey, actually, that is fake." But you don't even see it. It's not your fault. Your brain just shut the windows, drew the curtains. Now, let's talk about cognitive load or busy brain problem. It's basically brain clutter. When you're scrolling through cat memes, checking a group chat, watching a video, and thinking about what to eat for dinner, your brain's juggling flaming swords. It can't juggle forever. So when it sees a sensational post, it goes, "Ah, that feels true. Let's go with it." Your brain wants shortcuts. It wants comfort. It wants to survive that next scroll. That's how even smart folks miss clues, ignore sources, or fail to say, "Hold on, is that actually real?" Our attention isn't limitless. It's like a phone battery on 5%. When you're tired, distracted, or flooded with content, you're more likely to believe the first thing that sticks. And social media? Oh, it wants you busy. Bright colors, autoplay videos, countdowns, dancing cake slices, your brain never gets the break. The next part is the trick of choice. It messes with your sense of self. It's also called illusion of choice. Ari thought they chose to read the spider story, but guess what? The algorithm chose it for them. It learned that Ari likes weird animals, bold fonts, and stories that go boom. So it served that headline on a shiny silver platter. We all think we are in charge of what we see online, but really? Algorithms are like invisible butlers pushing dishes we have liked before. Would Madam like another plate of fear? Would Sir care for some outrage with his lunch? So the stuff we think we're choosing? No, it's the stuff that's choosing us. Ever heard of choice blindness? It's when people believe they made a choice even when they didn't, and then the defender. We might see a shocking post, half read it, like it, and later defend it without realizing we never really chose it. We just sort of went along for the ride. And all of that happened to Eri. A big, scary headline. A little bit of fear, a tired brain, an invisible algorithm. And that's it. Eri's flashlight of attention was hijacked. No time to fact check, no room to doubt. Just click, react, share. And that, my friend, is how even the sharpest brains get tangled in the web of misinformation. But wait, there's more to this tale. Comes in Eri's mother, who said, "Sweetheart, I think those were just Photoshop spiders." But something weird happened. Because even after Eri found out the spider story wasn't true, Eri still kind of believed it. Just a little. In the back of their brain. Like a leftover feeling they couldn't shake. Why? Well, let's open the door to the next big set of reasons people fall for misinformation. Let's start with a brain trick called confirmation bias. It's like when your brain hires a bodyguard who only lets in thoughts that agree with you. See, Eri had always been very sure that cities are full of creepy stuff like rats doing yoga. So when the subway spider story showed up, Ari's brain was like, "Yes, this fits everything I already believe. Come on in." Even when someone tells you, "Actually, that's not true," your brain gets defensive. Like it's saying, "How dare you challenge my beautiful, cozy worldview?" It's not just Eri. We all do this. Confirmation bias is like wearing invisible glasses that blur out anything that disagrees with us. It makes things feel true just because they fit within our existing worldview. But it gets sneakier. Let's talk about a brain bug called the illusory truth effect. Fancy name, simple idea. The more you hear something, whether true or false, the more you start to believe it. Seriously, just repeat a lie often enough and your brain starts whispering, sounds familiar, must be true. Even if you know it's false, even if someone warned you against it. So let's go back to Eri. After that first spider post, guess what happened? The internet, our tricky, shape-shifting villain, kept sending more of the same. More headlines. Subway spiders are mutating. 10 real animals that could be lurking in your pipes. Doctors warn. What's crawling under cities could shock you. Each headline made Eri flinch just a little less. Each one felt more familiar. And in Eri's brain, familiar started to feel a lot like true. It's not just spiders. This happens with political claims, health myths, celebrity gossip, you name it. Repetition is equal to comfort, and comfort is equal to truthish vibes. And those vibes, they stick, like brain glitter you can't sweep up. And now, here's the twisty part. Sometimes misinformation doesn't just trick you, it also confuses you. Eri eventually found a post saying, "The subway spider story is 100% fake, totally made up." But right under it, a comment that said, "Actually, it's real. I saw one with my own eyes." Then another one that said, "Scientists are hiding the truth." Eri stared, blinked, felt their brain start to melt. This, my friends, is called confusion-induced doubt. When your brain gets conflicting signals, it panics a little. It starts to doubt what it used to believe. Suddenly, even facts, real, solid, boring facts, start to feel shaky. And here's the thing. The more confusion, the more your brain might start leaning towards the lie instead of the truth. Because lies are often wrapped in confident, dramatic, shiny packaging. Truth is usually more subtle, plain, and boring. So Eri was left sitting on the couch, brain spinning, and snack forgotten. They weren't sure anymore about spiders, about cities, about truth itself. And that's how misinformation works. Not with one giant lie, but with 1,000 whispers, a sprinkle of fear, a pinch of confusion, until we believe things we were never meant to believe. But how does this keep happening? Well, friends, pull up your blanket because it's time to uncover the third set of big reasons people fall for misinformation. And this one's all about our brain's love for patterns. Let me explain. You see, the human brain is basically a detective that never takes a day off. and constantly asking, why did that happen? What caused this? Are those two things connected? Even when nothing actually connects them. And Ari was no exception. Earlier that week, Ari had a stomachache, a bad one. It started right after lunch. Some leftover spaghetti and a very questionable slice of birthday cake from a week ago. But instead of blaming the cake, Ari's mind zipped to something else. Earlier that morning, while scrolling half awake, they'd seen a TikTok that claimed spider eggs found in tap water. That was all it took. Their brain did the very human thing. Connect the dots, find the pattern. Not the right dots, but the most dramatic ones. Ari sat up in bed, clutching their belly and whispering, oh no, I drank the spider water. Of course that wasn't true. The water was fine. There were no spider eggs. Just a sketchy cake and a sensitive stomach. But Ari's brain wanted a story, a villain. And the cake, it felt boring. And they also didn't want the blame of eating an old cake. The spider? Now that made it feel like something important was happening. That's what we call the need for causal explanations. Our brains hate randomness. They want everything to have a reason, even if the reason is totally bananas. This is how conspiracy theories start. Not because people are silly, but because people are trying to understand the world. Our brains say, if two weird things happen close together, they must be linked, right? There has to be a cause. But sometimes there is no cause. The cake is just old. Now, let's talk about bounded rationality. Another big word, but hang on. It's easier than it sounds. Bounded rationality means our brains are smart, but not unlimited. We use heuristics or tiny mental shortcuts to get through the day. Like, if it looks official, it must be true. If lots of people are sharing it, it must be important. If it feels right, it probably is. These shortcuts are helpful when you're trying to cross a busy street or pick the least gross cafeteria hot dog. But online, with misinformation flying around like glitter in a fan factory, heuristics can lead us straight into confusion or even worse. Ari once shared a post without reading the whole thing just because it looked smart. Fancy words, a graph, some red arrows. Later, their mom pointed out it was full of errors. Ari blinked, but it felt true. Exactly. Heuristics are fast, but not always wise. And then there's the silliest sounding brain trick of all, pareidolia. I literally had to practice its pronunciation and I'm not sure I still got it right. But the concept is simple. It means our brains see patterns where none exist. You've probably done it. Ever spotted a face in a cloud? Or thought that your toast had Jesus on it? Or convinced yourself that three random events were clearly a part of a larger plot? Yeah. That's pareidolia. Our brains are built to connect dots, even if there are no dots. Ari once read three articles in a row about people getting headaches and suddenly believed there was a global headache plot no one was ever talking about. Sometimes we even spot patterns in feelings. Bad mood, internet glitch, cough. Our brains mush them together and go, aha, someone's behind this. But the truth is often boring, random, unsatisfying, and our pattern-hungry minds just don't like that. So Ari sat there thinking deeply. Their brain was trying so hard to make sense of a messy world, but now Ari had a secret weapon, awareness. They started whispering to themselves like a little scientist. Just because it happened doesn't mean it's connected. Feeling true isn't the same as being true. My brain likes patterns, but I can double check them. Pattern recognition makes us human, he knew, but wisdom is knowing when to pause. The next morning, Ari didn't wake up thinking about spiders. They were thinking about people. More specifically, why some people believed the spider story so strongly even after they saw it wasn't true. Ari remembered what their neighbor, Mrs. Ortega, had said on the stoop. I don't care what those health scientists say. My cousin's foot swelled up like a balloon. That spider was real. And old Mr. Keeney at the barber shop, he just grunted, I trust people I know, not some lady on the TV with the graphs. Ari had heard this, and slowly it started to click. Why do people believe things that don't make any sense? Well, here's a big one. We are wired to believe people, especially close to us, more than experts or institutions. It's not a flaw or foolishness. It's human, and it's for our survival. Long ago, way before phones or schools, our ancestors survived by trusting their neighbor. If your neighbor said, don't eat that berry, you never asked for data. You just didn't eat that berry. That is how you stayed alive. But now we are living in a giant world where truth comes from scientists, doctors, and health departments we have never met. That's hard for our old brains. We still lean towards the voices nearby. Ari saw it happen in real time. When Mrs. Ortega's cousin said her foot swelled up, no one asked for proof. They just nodded. Makes sense. The spider's back. Never mind that the doctor from the community clinic had already posted a video explaining the rash was from a rare plant allergy and not a spider at all. Still, people shrugged. I believe my cousin. Why? Because cousin feels real. A video, a flyer, an email from the health department, that feels far away. And here's the thing about reality. We like to think it's just facts, but often it's stories we have heard so many times. We stop questioning them. If everyone on your block says the spider came in through the drains, and someone even swears they saw it scurry out of the sink, well, suddenly it feels true. Not because you saw it, not because it's been proven, but because you have heard it enough, and you have heard it from people you trust. That's what psychologists call the social construction of reality. We build our sense of what's real using other people's bricks. Ari realized that as they stood in the line at the bodega, three people in front were chatting about the spider again, and every new person added a new detail. It was the size of a plum. My uncle said it nested in someone's mailbox. I heard it made your voice go high-pitched. Ari almost laughed, but then they stopped, because for those folks, it wasn't just a story, it was starting to feel like truth. And then there's something that happens, especially with smart people. You know, the type who says, I have done my own research, or I don't just trust the health departments, I think for myself. Now, thinking for yourself, that's good. But sometimes it turns into something tricky, a belief that you understand the world better than the experts. Ari's friend Raya was like that, read a lot, smart as a whip, but she'd gotten into the groove of saying, honestly, I didn't believe anything until I verify it myself. So when Ari showed them the health department's report debunking the spider's story, Raya shook her head. Please, they are always hiding stuff. I'll wait until someone independent confirms it. Ari paused. They respected Raya, but that didn't feel like truth-seeking anymore. It felt like something else, overconfidence. When we believe, we can see clearly. We can always find out if the post is incorrect. We're usually overconfident in our abilities. It's easy to start dismissing people who have spent their whole lives studying this stuff. Doctors, scientists, researchers. Folks who aren't perfect, sure, but who do know a lot more than your cousin's friend on TikTok. So now, Ari understood even more. Falling for misinformation wasn't just about clickbait or brain tricks. It was about who we believe, who we feel connected to, who we trust with our stories. And sometimes, that's not the people with lab coats and clipboards. It's the people right next door. Ari had now started noticing things like how people scroll through 5 news stories while stirring soup, checking text, and talking to their kids, or how no one ever read a full article, just the headline, maybe the first sentence, and they'll still share it. One time, Ari asked their cousin Dylan, did you read the whole thing? Dylan was like, what? No. I got the gist, though. But the gist turned out to be wrong, because here's the problem. People are trying to do too much at once. It's like trying to build a puzzle while bouncing on a trampoline and holding a glass of smoothie. You miss pieces, you drop things, you just grab whatever fits, even if it doesn't belong. That's what happens when we scroll, click, watch, and talk all at once. Our brains don't slow down enough to ask, is this true? It just says, oh, close enough. And misinformation, it loves that our brains don't question. Then there's how the stories keep changing. On Monday, the news says that it's a mysterious spider. By Wednesday, it was a fungus. By Friday, someone's blaming scientists for creating these spiders. And each version sounds like a new truth. But no one's announcing, hey, we were wrong on Monday, sorry. So what happens? People get confused. They stop trusting updates. They just stick with the version that felt clearest or scariest. Like Ari's neighbor, Mr. Kini, who said, they keep changing the story. I'm gonna believe the first one I heard, which unfortunately was the wrong one. Ari didn't blame him because honestly, trying to keep up was exhausting. Checking sources, reading corrections, clicking links, that takes work. And sometimes your brain says, no thanks. It's like grocery shopping after a long day. You just grab the frozen pizza and go home. Same with facts. When you're mentally tired, you don't investigate. You guess, you feel, you trust your gut. And many times your gut is wrong. And then there's the biggest trick of all. And my final point, emotions. Fake stories don't always try to convince you. They try to shake you, make you afraid or angry or shocked. They push your brain into a panic mode, fight, flight. And once you're hijacked by emotion, it's like your thinking brain takes a nap. You just react. That's why the spider story spread so fast. It had the right mix. Gross enough to go viral, scary enough to stick, familiar enough to feel true. Even Ari felt a little twitchy walking into the bathroom that night. That's how fear works. It lingers. Ari sat by the window again, same place where it all started. The spider was long gone now, probably never even dangerous, just a regular eight-legged roommate. But the story, or the story had legs. It reminded Ari of something big. For people, truth isn't just about facts. It's about feelings, timings, trust, and attention. And if we do not slow down, if we don't question how we feel when we read something, we'll keep falling for stories that sound true, even if they are not. So next time you hear something wild, pause, breathe. Remember, your attention is powerful, your attention is precious, and sometimes it's being played like a puppet on strings. Ask, who told me this? Why do I believe it? Am I reacting or am I thinking? And remember Ari, just a curious soul with a big heart sitting by the window asking the right questions, not believing and sharing every post they saw. That's the end of the spider in the subway story. I hope you liked it and learned from it how our subconscious brains play a huge part into making us fall for misinformation. In the next episode, we'll talk about the biggest invisible force of all, social influence behind misinformation. Remember that together we can curb this problem. So if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Health Savvy You. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. That way you'll know as soon as the next episode drops. I will see you again in 2 weeks. Until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.
Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way. See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.